The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived, and we appreciate you being here. One more guest, and then we head to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Let's check in with Joe, who is calling from Red Bay, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul.
What you got, Joe?
And I got news for Red Dog and Daryl and all these Georgia haters. Do they realize, and I can sense nervousness in their voice.
Yeah.
They know they're running into a buzzsaw.
They are. They do.
It's just not in their genes to beat Alabama. It's not. And Red Dog, I don't want to say too much about him because he's not worth the time. But I can understand how he's wishing and hoping. And it's like hoping, it's like when you've been bad all year and you hope Santa Claus shows up.
Oh, yeah. And naughty or nice.
And you ain't. And he's not going to show up with these Georgia fans because these Georgia fans are just so freaking – I don't want to call them names. I'll just say they're stupid morons. And they have no intelligence. I don't even know if they have high schools in Georgia. But I can promise you,
we're checking on that. Okay,
Alabama's
going to
beat them by double digits. We're going to beat them double digits, Paul, whether they like it or not, because they think they're number one when they ain't even beat out the number one team there is, Alabama. They've got a big reckoning.
Joe, where do you get? I know the newspaper business. There probably isn't a news. Where do you go to? Do you go to Twitter? Do you go to Facebook? Where do you get your sports information?
Well, I go to both. And ESPN.
Just for the sake of argument, if you went to ESPN right now and looked at the rankings. You do know, do you not, that Georgia is number one right now?
And that's why I'm asked. Because, I don't know if I have to go to the Soviet Union to get new news or what, but, we're going to see who's number one come Saturday. We are. And practically, Paul, if we hadn't dropped a few balls, A&M wouldn't have won that game. They didn't beat us. We lost that game. Everybody, you know it. You watch sports. I watch sports, but,
I'm struggling to understand this because everyone knows Alabama right now is ranked number three, and they are not number one.
That's just Bama haters.
Bama hater.
And they put Georgia up there without ever beating Alabama. They're basking in the glory because their schedule, they did not have Alabama on their schedule. But they're fixing to face us Saturday, and we're going to beat them double digits. It ain't even going to be close, Paul.
Okay.
I'm 100% guaranteed on this. In fact, I think the
last couple of Alabama games against SEC opponents, the LSU game was a one-possession game. The Arkansas was one possession. So that's three consecutive SEC games that Alabama has struggled to win the game, and now they're facing the best team in the country, and you think it's a double-digit game in favor of Alabama?
Well, for one thing, Alabama's the best team in the country. It's not Georgia. And you win those close games. You win them. And Georgia, they have no idea what we're fixing to come out and do to them. They don't know because they're looking at LSU game. They're looking at Auburn game. They're looking at Texas A&M game. We're not running none of those plays. None of those plays. This is playoff time now, and this is Alabama's time right now. They're still chasing us. They can put number one in front of Georgia. But I tell you what, their fans is nervous right now. They're scared because they know that they can put them number one, but they still can't beat Alabama. And there's their problem. That's everybody's problem. And we're fixing to wax them, Paul. I mean, we're gonna just lay the smack down on them. It'll be close when the game starts.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you a question. We've got something we wanted to share with the audience, and I want to make sure that we get this right. So you've got a Twitter handle, right?
I do. I've been on Twitter for a few years now.
Okay, and your Twitter handle is what, Joe?
Joe from Red Bay. My last name, Joe Tessner, but Joe from Red Bay. But you know what, Paul? Remember, I used to be your biggest fan.
Hold on a second. Doesn't it say, like, Joe Tessner or something?
It does. I mean, that's my name. But I go by Joe from Red Bay. Most people in Red Bay don't even know who I am.
We are currently, Joe, I don't know if you have the TV on, but we're sharing your picture right now with the audience.
That's the most handsome man you've ever played eyes on.
That ever called the Feinbaum Show, right here. That's you.
Well, I mean, do you think you're more handsomer than I am? I mean, do you think I'm more handsome than I am? I do not.
I'm gonna concede that contest to you, Joe.
Well, I applaud you for bowing out graciously, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a bad man for what you do. I mean, I wouldn't say you're Tim Tebow or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, but I ain't either. I mean, I'm not either. So,
this picture of you. Yeah, whatever. I mean, I've lost control of the show. So you guys tell me whatever you want. It's fine with me. We can.
I was dove hunting. I was in a dove hunt. You know what you do when you dove hunt. You know, you put people all around the field.
Yeah,
you know, somebody shoots one side. But anyway, we're going. You know, Georgia don't know nothing about this. There ain't a Georgia fan.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul. Let me talk to Joe. Joe, you're hilarious. You're really great. You're great on this show, man. You said you don't even know if they have high schools in Georgia. You're hilarious, Joe. You are hilarious.
These Bama guys are having Jim, don't you think maybe
where's Joe? He won't talk to me, Paul. Where's my friend Joe?
I think we hung up on him by accident. So
get Joe to call. That's hilarious. He sounds like he was on the Andy Griffith Show. Did he star on the Andy Griffith Show?
That is true.
I mean, come on, Paul. That's the most hilarious thing I've heard on the show in a week.
Okay, Jim, we'll see if we can get him back, and we will beep you at that moment in time. We'll send you a beep. Let's check in with Zach, who is in Charleston. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Just wanted to say a big fan of the show, even bigger fan of your hair. The reason I'm calling today is to talk about the SEC championship game and just explain to me the scenario in which Georgia can lose to Alabama and still make the college playoff, and then rationalize to me how that's fair to the teams on the bubble.
Well, it's not about this weekend. It's about a body of work. And had Georgia lost a game 8 weeks ago, and then they would still be in a position. I mean, Alabama could still conceivably get in with two losses. So we've had teams lose championship games before. In fact, Notre Dame lost one last year to Clemson and still got in as a number four team. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Rod is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Rod.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
Sir, I watch your show. I love it. But I'll get to the meat and potatoes here. I hear a lot of. Hello, you there?
Yeah, Rod, we'll keep going.
Okay, yes, sir. Here's I'm not going to be radical about this. I am an Alabama fan, SEC fan, and but I really believe that Alabama does have a shot at this, sir. As you know, Bryce Young is a top, definitely a top Heisman.
Sure, he's the favorite right now.
And I just think, Yes, sir. And I just really believe we're going to see the absolute best out of Alabama when it comes to the passing game. He has his receivers ready to rock and roll. They're healthy. Don't know about his running back. I hope he's good to go. But, you know, I just think that all these guys, I think Bryce Young is going to help showcase the talents of his receivers. Alabama knows they've got to go for big plays. And this is why I think Alabama has a shot at winning the game.
Well, by the way, it's a good philosophy. It's also a matter of execution. He had one successful drive against Auburn last week that has a few people concerned. We're going to take a break. We need a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Director Fritz Mitchell joins us. So, Fritz, great to have you back here. We were just watching the clip, and I do remember when that story finally broke. I think it was in the late 80s, and it stunned so many people. But good afternoon, and take us through your process in digging up a story that, it is 60 years old. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it has weird origins. When I was working on the series called Saturdays in the South, the history of SEC football, I was researching through a bunch of little tiny pamphlet books called Daily Devotions, and when I went through the Auburn one, I stumbled across the story. We went out and interviewed Sherry Hoppe. We put it in the history of the SEC football, and ESPN decided it was too big a story, too many tales to include in that anthology, and so they decided to make a one-off documentary on it.
And, I mean, I've heard this man's name forever, and I really wasn't sure exactly what happened until I was just watching this clip. As you set out to put it all together, take us through that odyssey, as you always do in putting one of these things together.
Well, the challenge is you're trying to do two stories at once. You're doing the unlikely national championship run of the 1957 Tigers. Meanwhile, you're doing the personal journey of a man who had killed someone in August before football started up his senior season. And so you're doing two parallel stories. And the fun of it was that, you know, you see so many sports documentaries where everybody kind of, they know the story. And sometimes they're reminded of the story. And those are just as good. But nobody really knows this story. You remember it from when the story broke in 88 when the trial happened, but very few people know it. And so I think there's a surprise around every corner, which was fun for me as I went to do it.
Well, Fritz, you know, we heard his wife talk about that. And I believe he confided in a minister, but no one else. How did it finally come back to him?
An investigator went out to talk to the minister. He got a tip, and he went out to talk to the minister, and the minister said, hey, look, this guy did do it. And the minister came clean. They decided to reopen the case, but 31 years later, there was very little evidence. The case files had been lost. Memories were thin, and so the district attorney had a real challenge on his hands to even prosecute the case.
So all this time, since winning the title at Auburn and moving on, what was Bobby Hoppe doing?
he was carrying a burden with him. I'm sure the first 4 or 5 years was brutal. There seemed to be three Bobby Hoppies. There's the teenage star who grows up in Chattanooga and can do no wrong, and every time he touches the football, he scores a touchdown. Every college wants him. He goes off to Auburn. And then their senior year, he gets involved in this car chase and kills this bootlegger. And so there's the brooding dark Bobby Hoppy who's racked with guilt. And then he meets his wife, let's say 1971, marries her. And then there's a third Bobby Hoppy, the one who kind of settles down and finds some sort of peace in his life. But he's always that. But he always carries that guilt with him of what happened that night, why did it go wrong, what went wrong, and that he killed a man. And he admits that in trial.
So this was a celebrated trial, and when it ended, what was the verdict?
He got Bobby Hoppy basically got off on a hung jury. He was not said to be not guilty, but it was a 10-2 hung jury. They couldn't prove that he was guilty. And then eventually the prosecution decided a couple of months later, look, we're not going to re-prosecute this case. We're not going to come up with any new evidence. So Bobby Hoppy never went to jail. But he never got the satisfaction of getting off either. And that was the thing that hurt him so much.
And what happened to him?
Bobby Hoppy lived peacefully with his wife, Sherry, after that. Until 2008, when he died of a heart attack. His wife found him on the kitchen floor. The sad part about it was that the year earlier, they had a reunion, a 50th reunion for that championship year, the 57 team, and he didn't go to it because he felt everybody would see, you know, the scarlet letter M for murderer on his chest. He thought that all his teammates, you know, would have read the stories and would look at him funny. So he didn't go back to celebrate with them.
And friends, what's so extraordinary, as you know, and doing the anthology, is that, you know, when Auburn won that title under Shug Jordan in 57, they did not win another one until 2010. That was the players on that team, you know, were heroes. They forever, you know, celebrated that win. And I'm sure it made their lives much easier, other than the person we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, in 1957, college football, even in the South, was not what it is today. When Cam Newton leads Auburn to that title in 2010, it's a national story, not a local story. When the 57 Tigers won, it was just a little regional celebration that became bigger and bigger and bigger as time went by because they never won another one.
No, I remember that because, you know, as you know, in 2010 on the road to that Cam Newton celebration, we had Gene Chizik on with us last Friday when we were in Auburn. They were celebrating. It was the 11-year anniversary, but because of COVID, they couldn't do it. I mean, that last couple of weeks with Cam was every day breaking news on every network, and I was just trying to juxtapose that with this and to think about. I mean, I lived in Alabama all those years, even during his trial, and I must say I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, I mean, the worlds are so different. Think about it in these terms. Auburn's starting quarterback in 1957 gets kicked off the team for being on a panty raid by Shug Jordan.
That's
and
amazing.
So they put a halfback back to play quarterback, and he leads them to a national championship. A panty raid, and maybe some drinking involved. But
maybe
if someone went on, I mean, first of all, there aren't any panty raids anymore. But if there was one, I don't think anybody would get kicked off a team.
And first, I can admit, as a college student, I attended panty raids, and they were big deals in the late 70s.
Oh yeah, they were fun. You always got in trouble, but they were sort of just considered mischievous.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to make people, not to get into a whole other SEC story here, but you basically just stood down at a dorm, and the women participated. It wasn't anything other than just showing up and being a bystander. There was no mischievous involved. And in my case, I'm not sure there was any drinking, although there probably could have been. Fritz, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, nothing ever happened at those panning raids. You went there, and it was nighttime, and it was usually dark, so you went there, and the fun of it was just the invasion itself. Once you got there, it was nothing. But it was... the theme, you know, it's like kids who go out and, you know, back in the 50s and went up on a train trestle and watched trains go underneath.
Fritz, I'm going to be very upset if the next SEC story is panty raid and you have pictures of me at the University of Tennessee. I'm going to be extremely upset. My career will be over.
I'm going to go looking. I'm Googling as soon as I get off the show.
I didn't even remember until you brought that up. I apologize for getting off the subject, but this film will be on immediately following us. Fritz, it's always great to talk to you again. You did such an extraordinary job a couple of years ago during Saturdays in the South, and I trust this is equal to that. Be well and come back soon.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Fritz Mitchell. In my life, I never thought we would get off a man tried for murder in 1987, and then you know, go back even further in the history book to delve into panty raids on SEC campuses. That does not happen anymore, thank goodness. We are coming back, and I hope I'm still here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here, final 30 minutes, and Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
I didn't know you was such a big panty raid guy, Paul, during your Tennessee days. Man,
I was on the way home from the library. I just happened to look up, and there were a bunch of kids. I figured I better find out what's going on.
Wow, that's interesting. No, you know me. I'm an outdoorsman. I don't sit around the house watching the view and things like that. I went out to Kansas, did a little hunting, and I'm working my way across America, and I hear your number two leg humper taking random pot shots at me. Well, mini eye man, snuff dipping rodent or something like that. That's pretty intelligent for him. For the record, I don't think I've ever dipped snuff. Have you?
No.
I haven't either. That's nasty. I don't put nasty things in my mouth.
I'm not much with tobacco.
Me either. I've never smoked a cigarette. Not one you buy at a store.
I have smoked one cigarette in my life.
Well, I borrowed one from a girl trying to meet her one time in Florida, and I just wanted to try to meet her. I said, hey, you got a cigarette I could borrow? And I saw her smoking a cigarette. She gave me one and lit it, and I liked it. Two or three hacks. I think I was 17 at the time.
Yeah, it was. I remember where I was. I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I just said, you know what, I've got to give it a shot, and I was choking for weeks.
There you go. But no, Joe's call brought me back down memory lane. When was the last time Georgia played Alabama?
Last October.
Yeah. No, the time Georgia played Alabama?
Yeah, Georgia played Alabama last year.
Okay. That was a couple of years ago.
Well, the last couple of meetings have been 2012 in the championship game, 2017 yeah. national championship, 2015
okay,
in Athens, and 2018.
It was 2017.
Yeah.
It was 2018 was when it was then.
Right.
You had a prominent Georgia caller. I'm not going to say his name. He would come on, and he would challenge Joe to $1,000 bet, if you recall. And Joe, you know, he's told us the stories on, you know, he's retired on fixed income and stuff like that. And you know how we network. So I actually called that Georgia caller, and I said, you know, Joe hadn't got $1,000 to piss away. I said, but I do, and I'd like to take you up on that bet. And a few days before the game, I even texted him $100 bills, a picture of it. And sure enough, he agreed to it. And a few days after the game, I'm going, getting ready to pull out my driveway, and a FedEx truck pulled up. And he walked up and handed me an envelope, and I opened it, and it was just $100 bills in it. It wasn't a card, there wasn't an envelope, there wasn't nothing.
And, he sent you the money. Wow.
He's honorable. He's my boy, too. And if anybody says anything wrong against him, man, they got to come through me. But ironically, I was in a deer stand a couple of days ago, and I get a text from him. He wants to make another. He wants his money back. I said, if you come on Feinbaum and tell the story, I'll make that bet with you. And so far, he took me up on my challenge. But
no,
I think you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Deer standing your way through America. A lot of people are doing that. I don't even know where to go next. How about Clarence in Alabama? Hello, Clarence.
How you doing, Paul? Long-time listener, first-time caller here. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just want everybody to know that Saturday, by the time Alabama gets done rolling through Georgia, we're going to be headed home from Bryant-Denny East with a 20-plus something win. They don't stand a chance. They never show up when they play the Tide. And Kirby Smart, everybody thinks he's the next Nick Saban. He never will be. He may can fire him up with his fiery locker room speeches, but when it comes time to strap the pads up, nobody gets them more ready than Nick Saban.
Okay. Snappy is up next. Hello, Snappy.
I'm just sitting here and trying to imagine Feinbaum at a panty raid. This has been your best show ever this year, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
You know, next week we're going to hear about you and, you know, the FCC Nation group, you know, shooting tequila behind the bus or something.
how'd you know?
I took a guess. I kind of feel like redneck royalty here. I mean, we got Larry, you got Red Dog, you got Legend, Cat Daddy, Iron Man, Squirrel, Joe. I'm not going to include Mary in this because she's a fine individual. And she's the only one that speaks common sense on the show. So before I get to my point, I appreciate listening to you definitely maneuver between all these callers and steering them in the directions and asking those questions. It's quite an art. So my point, though, is this. You used to hang out way back in the day, if you remember, with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And sure. What did he always say? Back in the day, what do you always tell you?
In order to be the man, you have to beat the man.
Exactly. So I'm here to pay Alabama
the
their
day.
Respect.
He gave me a woohoo by text.
I'm here to pay Alabama the respect. They've been the gold standard. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So you know, I'm pulling for the dogs. I'm not going to bark on live TV. You know, I don't want to upset anybody. Larry's dog is barking in the background anyway. I'm not going to bark, but I'm pulling for the dogs, but I understand in order to be the best, you got to be the best. Have a good night. We'll talk next week.
Thank you very much, Snappy. Dwayne is up next. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
That's good, man. You have become my favorite announcer in any kind of sports media. They went, when you asked Red Dog how many times he predicted in the last three games of Alabama, how many times, how he done on his prediction, and he says he ain't won. He's 0-3. And he said, but after Saturday, I'm going to be 1-3. Don't he know you got to add a number to the bottom also? You know, it's 1-4. And that's 25%. So if you do win, you're still a loser. But did you hear what Lincoln Riley's pay was? I read it on Google. Do you know?
Something like $10 million a year.
Well, it just said $110 million, a $6 million house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and
by the way, I have spent a little bit of time out in Hollywood. And $6 million may not get you that much out in Beverly Hills. that'd be a nice two-bedroom house.
mean, <that's, laughs> Well, since the SEC took over football and Big Ten, they don't even care much about football. And you're paying all that money for somebody who took over a dominant college.
He didn't build Oklahoma. He inherited it.
That's what I'm saying. He took over it for somebody. It was already built.
No, you're right. At least Brian Kelly took over a moribund program and made them good.
Amen. Amen. Now, he's got to go out there, and they think he's going to build USC. I don't think he has it in him. He does have the schools around him, but I don't think, you know, that he got it in him. I really don't.
Well, the key out there, Dwayne, is recruiting. He is a very good recruiter, but let's check in with David in South Carolina. Hello, David.
What's up, Paul Feinbaum? Long time no talk. Your hair is looking good these days.
Thank you very much.
Hey, listen, you got some jackrabbit fans on that show. You got Red Bug, Red Dog, Jack Leg, Jim Legend, who ain't no legend. He's an amateur. Everybody on there, none of them know anything about football, Paul. I mean, none of them do. One of them's blowing them out. One of them's not blowing them out. One of them's swimming in the pool. You got panties on top of your head. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you what, as a Tennessee fan, and you know I am the number one Tennessee fan in South Carolina, I'm real. I'm a realist. We had a decent year, but am I going to get on there and say, oh, we're going to go to the Gator Bowl. We're going to beat Penn State, or we're going to go do this, or we're going to go do that. No, I'm not. I just want Josh Heupel to continue to improve and do the things he's supposed to do, and maybe one day I'll get to call the show and talk about the SEC championship game. How do you think about that?
I think that sounds great. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.